Once a month, we visit with our partners at the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology for a segment we call Underground History. Chelsea Rose and Mark Tveskov of SULA bring in people and stories about archaeology and the intricate and fascinating process of truly unearthing the past. This month, we get to learn about archaeology taken right to the public in a trio of Oregon venues in the month of June. The Archaeology Roadshow of Portland State University returns this weekend in Portland with follow-up events in Bend and Hines later in the month of June. So let's lay out our hello to our SULA regulars. Mark Tveskov is in the studio with me. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Great to be here.
Chelsea Rose is on the phone with us this month. Chelsea?
Hi.
There she is. And Virginia Butler is with us as well, professor and chair of anthropology at Portland State University, which, of course, hosts the Archaeology Roadshows. Dr. Butler, thank you for joining us.
I'm glad to be here.
Start us off, if you would, Virginia, about the origins of the event.
So beginning about 8 or 9 years ago, I started to realize that I wasn't really putting enough time into connecting my own practice of archaeology with the public. And I started talking to a lot of students, and they started to get enthusiastic about being more engaged and actually putting on this fair-like experience. So it was really a bottom-up, student-driven project.
Let's go down this road just a little bit, because I know Mark and I have talked about this a lot in the past. When you tell people you're an archaeologist, what's the first thing that they say or ask after that?
They say, where have you dug recently?
Uh-huh.
So excavation is absolutely in the public eye about what archaeology is. And, of course, we typically do get things out of the ground. But a lot of what we learn happens in the lab. And, you know, there's just so many more facets to archaeology than the digging part.
And Mark Tveskov, what are the often misconceptions that you have to deal with about archaeology?
Well, for me, inevitably, it's like, what's the coolest thing you've ever found, which brings the focus on the actual object as opposed to the information that comes from the object. But it's understandable. It's very exciting to see really interesting things from the past get unearthed.
Well, which tells you a story, but the fact is you get a larger story from other things taken out of sight, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the practice of archaeology is, it is fun. It is exciting to be able to go different places and explore questions, but it's really not about the individual objects. It's more about helping us understand the past and think about the present.
So, Chelsea Rose, I mean, when you're doing the work in the lab, how small can some of the pieces be that you're looking at to try to recreate some sense of what life was like at this place?
Microscopic. So, you know, as technology evolves, archaeologists are going to only more have access to DNA, or right now we can do use tests to figure out what's in the soil that can tell us about what was happening there. And a lot of stuff goes through, you know, we screen all the dirt that comes out of these holes through 1/8-inch mesh screen, and even still there's a lot of stuff that we miss from the naked eye. For example, everybody, one of the common questions is, have you found gold yet? And especially working in Jacksonville. And we sent off some bulk samples of soil to have a specialist look for seeds and pollens and stuff like that. And when you know it, there was a tiny little gold nugget in there, and we didn't even see it. So, you know, artifacts, if you have the technology to capture the data that's even just in the dirt, there's just so much information that goes so far beyond something that would have monetary value on eBay. And that's really what the Roadshow can help communicate so effectively.
So, Virginia, you can't really take the lab out on the road. I mean, you mentioned that a lot of the findings are done in the lab. So what kinds of things do you do to represent that activity in the Archaeology Roadshow?
So what I really see it as is a way for government agencies, tribes, private companies, universities to share what they find out, you know, from field and lab work with the public. So a given project might be that a company worked in a lumber in a coal mining community or a lumber lumber community, and they had conducted archaeology in that place, and that knowledge has never been passed along to the public, or it rarely is. So the Roadshow is a way for the people who have done that work, that organization, to share what they found out through the excavation and the lab work in a engaging way, so that it's fun, it's exciting, it connects people with the world that is right around them.
Is it a mixture of historic and prehistoric archaeology?
It is exactly, because all of those times of history and heritage are part of our past, and we're trying to take those stories forward so that we have some understanding of them. And the other thing that, we're really trying to do, and I don't think the public appreciates, is that there are a lot of federal, state, local laws that protect archaeology, and in order to support those laws, archaeology is carried out in the context of highways, transmission lines, pipelines. And as these companies and agencies are going out and doing that work, knowledge is being obtained from that work, but it's often put in a file cabinet somewhere, and the public isn't really made aware of how rich that understanding is. And so it's a way to really break the walls down between the different entities that are doing archaeology in our state with the taxpayer, with citizens.
So are all those represented? You got federal, you got state agencies, you got tribes, you got universities, all represented in the Archaeology Roadshow?
Absolutely, every one of them is part of it, along with avocational organizations, historical societies, basically anyone that cares about the past and like Mark said, wants to bring it forward. We want them to come and share what their passion, their enthusiasm with the public.
This is Underground History on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about the Archaeology Roadshow, the big one in Portland at the Portland State University campus, Hoffman Hall Plaza. That's on this Saturday, June 1st, from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. Then there's a Central Oregon Archaeology Roadshow on Saturday, June 8th, also 10 to 3 at the Deschutes Historical Museum in Bend. And then later in the month, there's the Harney County Cultural Crawl and Archaeology Roadshow. I keep trying to put the word pub in front of crawl, but it's the Harney County Cultural Crawl and Archaeology Roadshow. That's on June 29th, also a Saturday, 10 to 3 at Hines City Park in Hines, Oregon. Virginia Butler's our guest from Portland State University. Our regulars from the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, Mark Tveskov and Chelsea Rose, are here. Mark's in the studio. Chelsea's on the phone. Do you have a question? Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. When Virginia was talking about the various agencies that do archaeology, Mark, my perception is that anytime somebody opens the ground for some event, there's an archaeologist called out. Is that a pretty safe assumption?
Not every time, but more times than you might think. I mean, archaeology is written into a lot of our resource protection laws. So just like you have to take into account planning and zoning regulations when you tear down a house or water quality or endangered species, archaeology is protected under lots of different kinds of federal and state laws. So more times than you might think. So, for example, when they're doing excavations on the plaza that triggers of Ashland, that's a public project, and it goes to the State Historic Preservation Office for oversight because there's are very important cultural resources down there.
So certainly on public land, when you're going to open it up, you got to do that.
But even on private land, and State of Oregon and Washington State are two of the few states in the United States that actually protect archaeological sites on private as well as public land. We have some of the strongest cultural resources protection laws in the nation, actually.
Chelsea, are there times you open up a site, you dig down a bit, and you ultimately find nothing? Is there ever a nothing there, or is there always a sign of some human habitation?
There is often nothing, but that's not always bad. That's still data. So sometimes we're looking for stuff and we don't find anything, or we find it's been totally disturbed by earlier construction or different things that have happened on the property. And that's still important to know. Of course, that site wouldn't be protected or anything, but you know, it's always, sometimes it's disappointing, but it's always good data, I guess. It's one of the things.
And I was going to say all three archaeologists on the show today should have shouted out in unison all the time.
Yeah.
There's been many a lonely week watching a backhoe dig a hole with absolutely nothing coming out of it in every archaeologist's career.
But I don't know, do you sort of like the fallow times, Virginia? It's like, whew, okay, don't have to worry about this site, on to the next.
Well, you know, I want to play with that a little bit because, as Chelsea was saying, as we get more and more micro, it's almost hard to find a place that doesn't have any sign of human activity. We're a pretty big species, you know, a major player in modifying the Earth. But that said, you know, in terms of identifiable, what we would agree is common artifacts, they're not everywhere. People are patterned in how they use the world, what they're up to. And the archaeological record is going to show those patterns. And like Chelsea said, when we see a lot of things in one place or not anything in another place, that's good data. That's helping us get to those stories, those patterns of the past.
Yeah, and going back to the pattern of the labor of it, you know, sometimes it's boring, but on the other hand, that is one of the major misconceptions about archaeology, this notion that it's a series of spectacular Hollywood discoveries, when actually the motion of archaeology is more like gardening, I think is a good analogy, where it's a slow, steady process. It's very zen and calming, and yeah, you really get into the patience of thinking about the landscapes you're working in and the dirt you're digging through, and very slowly, and that's a very calming thing and very humbling thing, even when you're not finding spectacular things every 3 minutes.
And we always frame things in terms of significance. So not every time you find a rusty tin can do you stop construction and get super excited about it. We're always looking, and this ties into the larger lessons that the Roadshow can convey, is that it's all about context. So what are we finding, and what's it in association with, and does that make the story that this site can tell significant? So there's always a lot of different evaluation going on in an archaeologist's mind, so to evaluate these sites.
Virginia, it seems like Mark and I can't avoid saying the name Indiana Jones at least twice a year. Would the archaeology profession be a lot happier if the name had never been, if there'd never been an Indiana Jones movie?
You know, archaeologists have different views of old Indiana Jones. I get a kick out of it, and it's a good starting place. And people can have an idea that archaeology is that, and then I get to play with it, and I get to go back to the stuff that we've been saying. And Indiana Jones was about finding things and not about their context and their broader meaning in a given place. But certainly archaeologists do find things, so there is an overlap. It's just that it's so much more than that. It's this idea of context, and the meaning comes from what those things are in relation to another. Just a quick example, and this is something that everyone grooves out on, is dogs. Okay, so we could find a dog bone, a dog jaw, in a garbage area, what we would call a midden in an archaeological site, or we might find it as part of a burial in a floor of a house, or, you know, in some context where people in the past had a very special view of that dog. The dog bone is the same whether you find it in the garbage pile or under that house, but the context of it has extraordinary difference in implication and meaning. And we just have those kind of reflections all the time.
That's why we're more like Sherlock Holmes than Indiana Jones, because it's all the little tiny clues we're noticing that tie together to solve the mystery.
So it's not the what, it's the what around it. What helps tell the story? What gives the context?
Yep.
So can I say one exhibit that's coming in Portland that's really playing with this idea? And another thing we're trying to do is make it relevant, really bring it to where people are and what they hear in the media. So I'm looking at my program, and one of the titles of a student event is Artifacts Out of Context Are Fake News. and she's playing with that, in that it fake news, not always, but a lot of it is cherry picking. It's picking specific things out, and it's telling a story the way you want and not what the original context is. And she's going with that as a way of triggering an idea that people have and have an understanding of, and then showing how that idea transfers into how we think about the past and try to understand it.
Virginia, is that student getting an A?
That is a pretty outstanding student. But I swear, all of our students, the creativity that comes from their exhibits is kind of extraordinary. You know, archaeology is about science, and it's really a humanities, but this public part is bringing in really kind of arts and those communication skills that aren't easy just to teach. You can't teach them in a classroom very well, and so this event really gives them practice in being creative about translating and sharing complicated ideas.
Virginia Butler, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange in this session of Underground History with the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology. Virginia is professor and chair of anthropology at Portland State University, with the Archaeology Roadshow coming to Portland State campus on this Saturday, June 1st. Mark Tveskov and Chelsea Rose with us as usual from SULA. You can join us. Questions, comments, observations about archaeology and its practices and its findings. Welcome on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Coming back to the discussion of artifacts, I noticed from your frequently asked questions on the PSU site, Virginia, that people should not show up with artifacts. Do not bring artifacts hoping for appraisals. There are a couple of reasons there. Can you lay this out?
Yes. The key one is by attributing, by assigning a monetary value to artifacts, which some people seek, that adds to their monetary value. It gives a professional label to that, and then that artifact can gain money in the antiquities trade. And the antiquities trade, the buying and selling of artifacts, contributes to the destruction of archaeology at a global level. And but we know that people do have artifacts. They have things that their parents had and were passed on to them, or some people have picked up artifacts in their walkabouts, hiking and so forth, and they want to know about that. And they may not even know that they were harming anything by taking that object and putting it on their mantle. So one of the things we're trying to do is to create a kind of an open atmosphere to interact with people that have things, have collected things, and share what we know about those objects, give them more appreciation of them, and at the same time communicate that that is not the practice we all want to do. You know, we want to, in order to keep archaeology and our archaeological record for the future, we can't degrade it. We can't take from it today. So the roadshow is a way, in a non-confrontational, in a friendly atmosphere, to bring everybody in that's interested in learning more about their artifacts, communicate that, and then have them see our whole fair, our whole event, and get a much broader idea of why context matters, of these deeper stories, of descendant communities, that you wouldn't get by just putting your object on eBay.
Has this changed, Mark Tveskov, for example, over the course of your career? I mean, is there a different view of the best place and use for things found in archaeological digs?
Yeah, when I started my career a long time ago now, I mean,
the gray beard got me asking the question.
Yeah, the most archaeology, you know, then as now, was done in this regulatory context. You're doing it for highways and such. But back then, we would just spend a ton of money on just excavating archaeological sites and digging stuff up, and writing mind-numbingly boring reports about them that would sit in a file cabinet, like Virginia said. And there was really interesting and important things in there on a scientific level, but to its credit, the discipline realized that we had to get over not only the Indiana Jones stereotype of this privileged white person looting the rest of the world, but also this kind of ivory tower stereotype of archaeologists being the sole arbiters of significance, meaning. And so, yeah, it has changed. So over the course of my career, we're now more likely to engage in things like the Underground History or the Antiques Roadshow. We try to make it a more Catholic approach and be more inclusive in the voices that are in archaeology and the interpretations that are in archaeology.
And Virginia, how many people show up for the? How many? There've been at least there's like half a dozen archaeology roadshows so far.
So far we've had 7, and we're on our 8th. And last year we had 1,200 people in the Portland event, and I'm with what we're doing now and promoting it like a program like this, and I'm hoping to get more. Another kind of great thing is, besides Portland, you know, we're moving across the state, and a couple of years ago when we were in Harney County in the Burns-Hines area, a much smaller demographic, you know, not nearly as many people as Portland, we got close to 400 people that came out for that day. So it was a huge hit in this rural part of our state. And So I can see that it has, it's one of those types of activities that the more we have it, the more enthusiasm and excitement from the public there will be. And I mean, I'm hoping there'll be thousands and thousands. You're talking to three people who love what we do, and we just know that we're on the tip of the iceberg of getting more people engaged and excited about it too.
Is the event that draws most people, for example, the booth or display that draws most people in Portland, different from the one that draws the most people in Harney County, for example?
You know, I think that it's a lot of the same. They're not the same booths, because in the Eastern Oregon, it's more about that world. You know, we've got the Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, National Park Service from John Day. They'll be connecting with those places. And here, you know, more in the on the west side of the state. So, but the same kinds of sharing is going on. Like, let's look at a mining community, the archaeological records associated with that. Let's look at a ranching, you know, the remains of a ranch that is no longer around, but tells us some amazing stories about late 19th century rural Oregon. So the same kinds of things are happening, but they're local. And I think that's one of the key things we're trying to share, too, is that this path that we're trying to share happened right here. We don't have to travel 1,000, 10,000 miles away to another part of the world. We have really interesting stories right here. And then that way, we don't want to take the Portland stories, all of them, you know, over to Eastern Oregon.
Sure.
Because those are the stories that kind of need to be played out in those places.
And this is free, is that right? All the archaeology roadshows are free?
Completely free.
All right. The Portland Archaeology Roadshow is this Saturday, June 1st, 10 to 3 at the Portland State University campus, Hoffman Hall Plaza, Walk of Heroines. Central Oregon Archaeology Roadshow is Saturday, June 8th, also 10 to 3 at the Deschutes Historical Museum in Bend. And then the Harney County Cultural Crawl and Archaeology Roadshow is on Saturday, June 29th at Hines City Park in Hines. So if you're out and about Oregon, you'll get three chances to check out the Archaeology Roadshow, headed up ultimately by Virginia Butler, Professor and Chair of Anthropology at Portland State University. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, and Mark Tveskov and Chelsea Rose, thank you for joining us once again for another great Underground History.
Great to be here, as always.